Last week, we got to spend a bit of time together here thinking about prayer. And Paul's reading right from Romans actually lends itself to us to doing a little bit more of that together today. So Phil and I kind of planned this to be a bit of a 1-2 thing. Prayer is the gift that God has given us by which we are wonderfully able to connect with him and to communicate with him. As Phil wonderfully reminded us last Sunday, prayer is really where we begin and where we end. And actually much of what's in the middle, too. It is something that you all quite rightly expect people like Phil and I, who work in pastoral ministry, to be able to do with some level of comfort and ease. And, you know, on most days, that's a fairly reasonable expectation. But I think we need to be really clear. Phil and I do not have any special ability to pray. You might be surprised to know that I was never in a class, in all of those classes I took, where we were just simply taught to pray. It was Phil's shaking his head. He wasn't either. It's expected by the time you get to theological school that you'll already know how to pray, that you will have learned to pray in exactly the same way that all of you did, by praying. Which is why it always makes me giggle a bit when we get together, often for meetings here, and people look at Phil and I with the expectation that, of course, we should pray. Actually, we're not any more qualified to pray than any of you are, nor are our prayers any better than yours. And even though we are deeply convinced that prayer is central in the life of someone who is trying to follow Jesus, there are times when we find ourselves struggling to pray, just as I'm sure there are times like that for all of you. It's just the nature of prayer, and particularly prayer in the realities of life. I remember coming to a meeting here once, and it beginning in the usual way. The person who was chairing the meeting asked if anyone was willing to open in prayer. Phil and I were both in that meeting, and so as happens when we go through that, eventually people's eyes start bouncing between Phil and I. Who's going to take turns? I offered to pray, and then immediately regretted it. As I bowed my head to try to think of words to say, my mind was strangely blank. No thoughts came. It felt like I was looking at a blank chalkboard, expecting there to be words there, because there usually are, but that day there weren't any. I kind of thrashed around mentally for what felt like 10 minutes, but was probably only a few seconds. And then I managed to offer what was honestly a pretty hollow petition for God to guide our work together in that meeting. Honestly, as I said amen, I felt like a bit of a sham. I knew that I had just really gone through the motions of praying because I was expected to. But I certainly didn't feel like I'd been talking to God. Because I knew that in all honesty, in those moments, I actually didn't even know what to say to God. Here's why. About 10 minutes before that meeting had started, I had received some rather shocking news. And to be honest, it had really, as the saying goes, knocked me for six. It kind of came out of the blue. It wasn't at all what I was expecting to hear. And my reaction was compounded simply because I was surprised at how much this had affected me. See, one of the strange blessings of doing this job is that I get frequent reminders that life's not perfect. It's an absolute privilege to be able to be a part of many of your lives through all that life brings. And sometimes those things that come along for us, they remind us in vivid ways that life can be really hard. People get sick. Relationships get complicated. Stuff happens. Most days I'm able to navigate those reminders without getting too shaken up. But the bump that came right before that meeting started was just a little bit too big. The reality of the brokenness that remains in this world came a little bit too close. I came face to face with the big problem in this life, that many things, too many things, are still not right. That's actually the reality that's being described in the opening verses of our scripture reading today. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Something's not right in this world, and we are waiting, waiting for it to be put right. Paul's words very effectively describe this groaning and waiting that all of creation is experiencing. He says it's something akin to the groaning and waiting that happen as a woman labors in childbirth. Something's coming, and we and all of creation are longing for it. But it's not here yet. And these bumps that come along in life give us stark reminders that God's mission to rescue us is still very much a work in progress. Life still involves pain and struggle on many levels. And yet in the midst of this struggle, Paul also affirms that we have hope. He says, "For in hope we were saved." Now, hope that's seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. It's important to see how Paul is very careful to highlight the impact this hope can have, how our faith can help us to deal with these challenges and struggles that come along in life. As my little story suggests, Jesus' followers are not immune to life's struggles, nor do we get a golden ticket that somehow gets us through them with relative ease. No, we still get hurt and scared, and as I did that way, sometimes feel completely swept out to sea. But the source of our hope helps us to not get stuck in those places. The source of that hope that Paul speaks of is God's promise that one day all that is wrong and painful will be put right. It'll be healed and restored. The Apostle John puts it beautifully in the Revelation. He says, "A day is coming when God himself will be with us, when he will wipe every tear from our eyes, when death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more, and all things will be made new." It's a stunning promise that one day all of creation will be fully redeemed and restored. All that's wrong is going to be put right. And sometimes now we get little glimpses of it. They're like tiny tastes of what life will be like when that day finally comes. But we still live in a reality that also gives us frequent reminders that we're not there yet. So there's this tension to life. And some of the words Paul uses in his passage today express that tension really well. He says, we're groaning and waiting. We're eager and patient. It's a strange tension. And sometimes we're able to live in it more easily than others. Some days the promise shines bright and it lifts us enough so that we can wait patiently. But other days, reality kind of bites, doesn't it? And as Paul says, when that happens, sometimes we're left not even knowing how to pray. Our minds are like a blank chalkboard. We can't find the words. We're waiting. We're trying to cling to that hope that our faith offers. But we know full well we need help. Well, as Phil alluded to in his sermon last week, in his faithfulness and care of us. God has not left us alone in this waiting. After Jesus ascended to heaven, God came to be with us in a deeper, whole new way. That's why we're here today. It's Pentecost. It's the day we set aside to celebrate that wonderful truth we heard in that Acts 2 reading, that since the very birth of the church, we've had a helper here with us, a helper who is God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. God's Spirit lives within us, within each and every person who's tried to follow Jesus. The Spirit empowers us and guides us, helps us, comforts us, and brings life to us and everything we do as disciples. Every 3 months here, we say our new creed. It begins with these opening words, God is with us. We are not alone. As we stand together and say those words, we are affirming this truth, that God's Spirit is here, loose, active, within each of us and within our world. We may be waiting, but we're not waiting alone. God the Holy Spirit is with us. Today in our reading, Paul has affirmed this amazing truth, and he chooses to particularly focus on one important way that the Spirit helps us. As Paul says in verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness when we do not know what to pray. Well, Paul doesn't enlarge in this passage on the variety of ways that the Spirit helps us to pray, but there's many. You probably will recognize some of them. For some, there are times when words just seem to come. The blackboard's full of words. It may be that they seem to flow without too much effort, or it might be that it's one particular word or one particular phrase that kind of gets stuck in your head. It's emphasized as you think about what to pray about. It doesn't go away and you have this niggling sense that you're supposed to pay attention to it. So maybe you should pray for those things. Maybe it's the word reconciliation or healing. Sometimes it's not a word. Sometimes it's a picture or an image that God brings to your mind. As you reflect on that image, you're sometimes aware that there's a particular significance to it for you. Maybe it has a special meaning beyond the literal picture. And that can become the focus of your prayers. So if suddenly you get a picture of a beautiful flowing stream, that might speak to you personally of refreshment. So it might be a way that the Spirit is nudging you to pray for refreshment for yourself or maybe for others. Some people are just visual people. We learn visually, we think visually, and God knows that. And so he inspires our prayers through pictures that he brings to our minds. How about this one? Have you ever had a scripture verse or a Bible story stuck in your head? Or maybe it's appeared repeatedly over a short period of time to you, like it pops up in your devotional, and then for some reason they read it at church on Sunday, and then somebody randomly starts talking about it. It might be a nudge from the Spirit for you about how to pray. It could be anything from the Bible. Last week for me, it happened with the story of Jesus calming the storm for the disciples. Took me a while. God tends to repeat himself with me, but I finally realized, hey, I'm supposed to be praying for God to calm a storm. So then you start looking. Where is the storm? And pray for it. Music. We don't just sing here because we like to. It's important. It's theology. It's prayer. Music is a way that the Spirit can help to lead us in prayer. My husband Simon, I'm going to out him a little bit for you here. He quite often walks around our home singing bits and pieces of worship songs. I guarantee you when we go home today, we're going to be hearing, fire, there's a fire. Hey, I got brave and just sang from the pulpit.
It's even easier when you're ordained.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm hoping when I'm ordained, I'm going to get the gift of being able to sing and I'm going to grow 6 inches. So sometimes you do get songs. Sometimes with Simon, I wonder where they come from. Why that song today? It's kind of random and weird. And often if it's not one of my favorites, I really think that. But there have been times when hindsight has suggested to me that it was actually probably God nudging him to sing that song as a kind of prayer. And in retrospect, it kind of makes sense. So if a hymn or a worship song comes to you when you're trying to pray, don't worry, you're probably not being distracted. Your mind's probably not wandering. It might be the Holy Spirit nudging you and saying, pray this. The Holy Spirit lets you pray in a way that will naturally flow for you. He knows you. The Spirit also wonderfully uses memorized prayers to help us to pray. Prayers like the Lord's Prayer that just seem to drift into your mind. It's the richness in Roman Catholic spirituality. From a young age, Catholics are trained to memorize a number of prayers. And for the rest of their lives, it's like they sit on the tip of the tongue, ready and available whenever you need them. It's wonderful. Recently, I learned a very brief prayer through a book I'm reading with a friend of mine. It's a prayer that acknowledges my incapability and God's consummate ability. It's simply one brief sentence. It's meant to be prayed as a breath prayer. I can't, but you can. I thought it was interesting when I first read it. It's simple, easy to remember, and oh so true. But in the weeks since I first read it, there have been a number of occasions when it's popped into my mind. And it's actually particularly fitting for that moment, and so I just quietly pray it. I can't, but you can. Our text for today actually quite specifically describes another way the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Paul addresses the same problem that I described at the beginning of this sermon. Those times when none of those Spirit-prompted inspirations seem to come. How does the Spirit of God help us to pray when we just can't? When we don't even know what to ask God for? Or we can't find the words to express what we're feeling, or maybe to express our pain. Well, this passage tells us that when at times like that, something happens, something that's actually absolutely astounding if you think about it. When we can't pray, for whatever reason, the Spirit doesn't just help us to pray. Paul writes that when we can't pray, God's Spirit actually prays for us. Imagine that. The Spirit of God beside you, praying for you. Within you, praying for you. Peterson puts it in the Message translation beautifully. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. God's Spirit does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and aching groans. When we don't know how to pray, when we can't find the words to say, God's Spirit helps us by praying for us, sharing with God the longings and the pain that are weighing on our hearts. So on those days, when all you have is a deep feeling that can't be adequately expressed in words, a feeling that leaves you with nothing but a deep groaning, you can be assured that the Holy Spirit knows and feels your pain and is in that moment carrying it to God in prayer on your behalf. What was that little prayer I learned recently? I can't, but you can. Friends, when we can't pray, rest assured, God can, and God does pray for you. Amen.